Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process. Welcome back to your home for football and fantasy football, where we learn, scout, win, and repeat. It is time to continue the process. What's up, y'all? I'm your host, Ralph. Excited to come to you for the week 19, the wild card week, if you will. Episode 18 in the season 4 of The Process. Well, all we do is win. Are you guys tired of winning? I am not tired of winning. So we're going to keep doing it through the wild card weekend here. Happy to lead the way for you all, Tiger Bombers. Before we get cracking on this week, last week, DFS, we just won. And so that's why we're excited to continue this week. Remember, if you play next week, that's at your own peril. Things get a little tighter, but it can be done. We'll still talk football here, but in terms of last week, crushed it. I know a lot of people go into week 18 thinking, oh, who knows, it's a crapshoot. They're not going to play their starters, or who knows how it's going to roll out. So taking a lot of pride in coming to you with knowledgeable reasoning behind our picks and crushing it, staying away from some of the bait and going with what we know and rolling out a nice double up lineup, but also chasing some of that, you know, down payment money too, basically, right? Just trying to climb the ladder there. Had a fun afternoon chasing some bigger money. That's what we want to do here. If you don't know what the mission of us is here at Tiger Bomb for the DFS purposes, now that the season long, you know, format is pretty much done, listen to last week's episode, because in the opening intro, I basically broke down exactly why you would listen to this, what the value is to you as the casual listener, as the avid listener, and how we can all win together. And so, won't bore you again with it this week, but I will say thank you to my first-time offenders. We really like you guys. And also, thank you to the repeat offenders. I love hardheads. Love all the listeners. Happy to be in the Tiger Bomb universe with you all. Very quickly, where would you find us? Pretty simple. We have the website, first of all, www.tigerbombsae.com. You can actually go there, click on the process page, and listen to the process podcast there, as well as look at the bylaws that we have for DFS format. These are the rules that we follow. If you ever get lost or you're confused, or why are we doing this or doing that, or you didn't hear that episode, go there. The Ten Commandments, if you will, are listed there. You can also watch the episode and get other goodies that way. Now, there's other podcasts with Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. So if you go to that website, you can possibly click on those other pages if you like true crime. A little bit of that for you, among other things. If you are a podcast on the go person, you like listening to your podcasts in your apps, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever, Spotify, however you do it, you can listen to Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment podcast very much the same way, the process the same way. Just search in that app for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, like the page. That way you get all the episodes to all of the podcasts, and there's so much going back for the process. So a lot of this information that we build on is just there. I leave it there for proof in the pudding, right? Just where we get the sources, how we look up the knowledge, and how we really concoct it, so that we can just, you know, focus our powers on making the right picks during the week, which seems to be working for us. But if you're ever curious, you want to go back, you want to start at the beginning of the process, it's not a terrible idea. That's an easy way to do it. If you're a social media person, we can keep up there too. Pretty simple. Facebook and Twitter, find us the same way. That's at The Process, TBSAE. That's at The Process, TBSAE. Both Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is a great way to do last minute Stardom sit-ums, questions about DFS at this point. Should I start this guy, start that guy? What do you think? I'm very good about answering all of that stuff. And so that is a fantastic way that you might connect. If you need to send me an email, for some reason I've done something to piss you off, or you got to tell me something extra cool, do it. The process at TigerBombSAE.com. All right, that's the important stuff. We're going to get into our usual segments this week and break down the wild card format. There are six games. We're going to play the six-game slate for DFS and approach it like that, so all these games matter, which is why we need to get this thing out to you Friday so that you are ready for Saturday. Let's start with everybody's favorite segment.
Thank you. And now it's time for the process to reload.
Gonna oversimplify this thing, put too much ingredients in the gumbo. We're gonna stick with what's been working, and that's taking these simpler looks with reload versus in the past seasons where we had more extensive looks, and then the playoffs having even more extensive looks. Not gonna do that. Gonna go with what we know, which is what we've seen all year. To begin with, Vegas going to Cincy, second time they're gonna do this thing. Now, it's a little bit of a different game, is what I want to mention about this one, because one thing that I failed to personally realize over the course of my football DFS career, seasonal career, until this year, is how differently teams could change by the end of the year from where they were before. Not always, but sometimes they could be a drastically different team in terms of how they're playing offensively or defensively, and that could be for a plethora of reasons. Injuries, getting better, getting worse, things like that. Schematically, understanding what to do more, first-year type problems, whatever. There's a lot of reasons for that. What I mention that because this is a game to where I don't want to be too invested. I want to think about what happened before, but put it in context, because I think that these teams are a little bit different now in terms of how they may think about themselves offensively, certainly defensively as well, but mostly offensively. And so if we look at this game, I think for the Cincinnati side of things, you know, for Vegas, you could actually pass on this defense is what I'm getting at. And I think running is the thing that they're a little bit better, a little bit more stout against. And so Jacobs, I don't think, is necessarily going to be so much in play in this one as much as Vegas would like, because Cincinnati's a little stout up front. And so they will have to get it out. Now, Waller's coming back. You know, I like Waller, but I like Renfro more. I love the fact that people want to go play Waller this weekend, because in the DFS world, there's only so many choices as a wildcard weekend. I want them to do that because we want to follow the process. Go with what we know, not what we're guessing. He's just coming back from injury. You know, if he goes off, great. We'll have a piece of that in tournaments. But, you know, for the more sure thing of the two, I'd say Renfro. But those are the two recipients, I think, offensively. Zay Jones probably catches a pass here or there. He's been coming on a little bit. I'm not a huge fan. I won't deny what he's been doing recently, though. We'll let him have that. And so for them, there's the path right there. I really like Carr, especially the DFS format. We're going to use him as our cash game quarterback because he's going to have to face an uphill battle. We know that the Bengals can score offensively. And so feasibly, Vegas will have to score points to keep up. Vegas's defense has not been great the past couple of games down the stretch there. And so I don't know why the Bengals wouldn't be able to, you know, have their way with them, even though I expect both teams to show up a little bit more for the playoffs. For the Bengals side of things, look, I believe that Joe Burrow and the offense is high powered, and to all, you know, for what they want to do, I think there's going to be a mixing game either way, because maybe they come out, they assert themselves early with him, wear him down with the run, or they come out shooting and they use him down the stretch to run it out. I think either way, mixing is going to have himself a pretty good day. And then on the other side of things, I think that the offense, as a tournament option, is the passing game. Burrow, Chase, and then Higgins. I probably leave Boyd out. Not so much Uzoma. You can reach for Uzoma if you want to, but there's not enough action there for me this weekend. Ultimately, Cincinnati should win this football game, but I've seen weirder things happen. Vegas has, you know, really shown last week that they can dictate in a quick amount of seconds, you know, how we should govern the end of a football game. And so I think that Cincinnati being a little bit of a more junior staff, I think it's going to be a close game. I think Vegas puts up the points to stay in it. I think the Bengals put up the flash to do what they need to do. But in the end, I wouldn't be surprised if Vegas wins this football game. I do believe that they got a little taste of what you need last week. Cincinnati's riding high. There's a lot of expectation. I know the city's feeling great about this team and their chances. But we got to play the game. And Vegas is going to come play the game. Like I said, Burrow coming in and get theirs. But I think Vegas sneaks out and wins this one on the road. Reload. New England and Buffalo. All righty. They're going to do it again for the third time. I think this does not favor Buffalo to have to do it for the third time. New England, I think, is the junior of the two teams this year. But getting this third crack at it, you know, giving it to Bill, I think that they're going to come ready to roll. And so that's more problematic for Buffalo. I understand the weather and this and that. But I think the path is, you know, probably on the ground still. Both teams have a pretty good, you know, stout defense against the pass. And so, you know, Allen, I'm not so much interested. Mac Jones, definitely not very much interested. I think it's on the ground is where it'll be. Left tackle injuries for the New England Patriots. And so this could be a bit of a stalemate thing. I'm expecting a defensive thing, which is why I'm willing to pay down on DFS for the Patriots this week. I just think that regardless of who wins, it's like a coin toss, but regardless of who wins, I think that both teams could be sufficient defensively. So I'm willing to trade Buffalo's, you know, price for New England's, basically, in a game that's very, very close on paper. You know, the weather, I know a lot of people maybe not expecting a lot of offense. I think as long as there's no snow, right, or like before, you can still get that offense in. But I think the matchup dictates much more of a slug it out in the middle of the, you know, field type of a deal. So, not interested in a whole lot of pieces there. You can go with Harris running the ball for New England if you want to. On the other side, I think Singletary, if you want to have some interest there. There's an injury in the New England secondary, and so as far as Buffalo is concerned, maybe not dig so much, but this opens up things for Gabriel Davis, perhaps. Maybe a little bit more give there, but ultimately there's better spots this weekend. It's going to be a tough football game. It's going to be a tough football game. I actually think New England, you face Bill three times. I think the gap is not that far apart that he can't find a way to do it. I think New England upsets here. So I've got two upsets. So I got Saturday is upset Saturday. It's a close one, though, in New England. So I think a lot of points in Vegas and Cincy. Not a lot of points in New England and Buffalo. Reload. On to Sunday, Philadelphia and Tampa Bay. I'm really not giving Philadelphia much of a chance in this one. But to talk about what they would want to do offensively, I mean, Jalen Hurts, obviously, you know, the most designed runs for him. They need to try that. I don't know how well that's going to run against Tampa Bay. I think they're just going to show up and be ready. I do believe that, you know, Goddard is in play for sure. That is the way to attack this Tampa Bay defense. And so I believe that, you know, he's in play. Absolutely feel good about that this week. Not so much, you know, wide receiver-wise for Philadelphia. Although, in the slot, Quez Watkins, I mean, it's possible, right? It's possible. Anything's possible. They would be coming from behind, so potentially they could, but I'm just not impressed with Jalen Hurts as a passer yet, and I don't think that they're going to be able to run the offense that they want to. Their defense would have to stop Brady, and I just don't see that happening either. I very much like Gronk on the other side of things, and then I think Brady will be able to spread it around. I even like Brady to make some things work in a tournament. I'm going Gronk. You know, I'm stacking Gronk and Brady, and I'm stacking them with Fournette, and I'm stacking them with Brady, because I do think that he has the option to get invested too this week. The tight end play for Philadelphia defensively, like against tight end, is terrible. And so Brady and these guys are good enough to exploit this. They're getting O.J. Howard back too, and so, you know, they do have those three tight end sets and stuff like that. It should be interesting. And so I'm figuring if I do it that way, I'm even covered if he throws it to Howard, because I still get the points, you know, attributed to Brady, basically. But with the other guys, it's double points. So very interesting stack, unconventional stack, as opposed to going with Evans and one of the other receivers like Scotty, you know, Miller, whatever. I'm not going to do that. But Fournette should be coming off the IR. We're going to watch that situation. I have a lot of interest if he's activated. Playoff Lenny, I think, is a great spot for him. Catching the pass out of the backfield, getting that solo work. I like it. I'll probably get out of that run game if he is not, you know, able to go, but I'm assuming he's going to be able to go. Easy pivots because the prices are the same. You can go to Mitchell in the San Francisco game or something like that. We'll talk about him in a second. But Tampa Bay should win this game. Their defense, if you want to pay up for that, I think that's a good investment. They may even, you know, curtail what Tampa Bay has to do in the second half offensively if they roll away. I think they will reload onto the Sunday afternoon game. San Francisco 49ers at Dallas. I think it's going to be a great game. Deebo Samuel, the way that they use him, I think he'll be effective. He's going to keep them in the game, but he's about the one that I have interest in. I think Mitchell, I have some interest in him against this Dallas defense as well. Those would be the primary two on the San Francisco side, along with Kittle. You can game stack this one because I do expect quite a bit of offense. But I will say this, for the San Francisco side of things, they've been, you know, pretty decent against the pass, a lot better than they were to start the year. They've really buckled down. And even against the run, they're not terrible either. And so defensively, they pose a problem. I do have some interest in Ezekiel Elliott, though. I think that he can be effective. I'm going to stay away from Pollard, though. I'm going with the big dog. It's a playoff game. I do think that Dak has the opportunity to, just volume-wise, they might have to keep up. I think he may have, you know, had the chance to be doing something, but it's a tournament option for me because I do think that San Francisco's defense is a little underrated coming into this one. As far as Dallas goes, though, if you had to go wide receiver, I mean, Schultz, you know, maybe, but I'm not so much interested there. I would be playing Dak with maybe perhaps Cedric Wilson. I mean, you can if you want to, but Amari Cooper really is who I want in this one. Amari Cooper is the guy that I want to pair him with and try to exploit, and then put them with Elliott in a tournament, basically. I'll get all the offense that I need that way from them. But I do like the Dallas defense in this one. I think they're going to get some turnovers. I think San Francisco is going to be competitive, but that they will ultimately turn the ball over in the end. So I like Dallas to find a way to win this football game at home. Reload. Pittsburgh, Sunday evening, going to Kansas City. Ben, like, you know, had a swan song last week, and then I don't think they expected to make the playoffs, and they're already like, you know, we'll see what happens. So it's very, like, hum-ho, you know, but I expect them to come out and do it, you know, try their best. Najee Harris definitely in play for sure. Freiermuth in play. I like, you know, it's really against the pass for the Kansas, you know, if you're going against the Kansas City defense. And I do think that, you know, Najee Harris from a standpoint of he catches all the passes, but also just a volume thing. There's nobody else in the backfield when he's healthy, so you want him there. But also, on the passing side of things for Pittsburgh, you know, Deontay Johnson, I'm invested. I can't really get to Claypool. Johnson gets so many looks, you can't deny it. But it's really Freiermuth, I think, is who you got to get invested in here. You're looking to him a lot at the end of the last game. Kansas City is not great against the tight end. That's the path to victory. I think that's the path to victory. And so playing off of that is you have Najee Harris, you know, with those routes that a running back would run, which are in the same spaces, on the same parts of the field, albeit, you know, east and west difference, with the tight end. So I think that poses an interesting matchup thing for Pittsburgh, as well as just hard-nosed trying to run the football. So that's where their opportunities lie. If they want to try this to win this unwinnable game, I don't think they're going to win the game. Kansas City at home is going to take care of business. I think they can run the football to do it. I don't think Mahomes necessarily has to do too much in this one. Not too much thinking on Kelsey or much of those other guys. Hill, you know, nursing that injury, trying to come back. Maybe they get one over the top or something like that. But ultimately, I think that Kansas City can do what they need to do defensively and also rely on the running game. So I have a lot of interest in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I know there's a lot of satellite interest in Williams behind him. I'm just going to stick with Helaire. That's fine. I know there's, you know, there's even people talking about McKinnon and Gore. I'm not going to buy into any of that. I'll just go with the lead guy and call it a day. I don't even want to use Williams because I don't expect them to have to be passing to come from behind on third down or anything like that. So we'll roll with CEH and let everybody else take their chances. But that's a good matchup on the ground for Kansas City in the game that they should win. And then our final shot, Arizona and the Rams on Monday night. Look, the Rams can't beat the Niners, but the Niners, but rather the Rams always beat Arizona or contend with them. It's not the different thing. There's not that complex there. And so I think there's going to be a bit of a bounce back. Maybe people are down on them, but Rams are going to show up. I think the path to victory for them is running the football. So I think it's Sony Michel, Cam Akers. You're probably going to get some touches. I think they want to get him, but less likely that he is the lead guy. Wait a minute. Edwards-Helaire is out for the Chiefs against the Steelers, so we're going to go all in on Williams. Makes our choice even easier. We just swap him out in those lineups. You may even have some money to adjust, so perfect. And I'll make that adjustment as we talk about DFS. But glad I just saw that, literally just saw that. Okay, back to the game we're talking about. As far as Arizona goes and the Rams go, Michelle, I think, is going to get those touches over Cam, who will see some touches. But that's the path to victory. Stafford hasn't been great. I mean, they're going to try to do some stuff, but I don't think they're going to try to go crazy. I don't have a lot of interest in the passing game there, but they, you know, should get some passes off here and there. Arizona side of things, the passing game is the way to attack the Rams, I think. And I do have a lot of interest in A.J. Green. I think Christian Kirk is in play. I don't think the run game is necessarily in play. And so I don't have very much interest in them on the running side of the ball. But I will take my chances with the passing game. So Murray, you know, but I think that for me, I'm not really going with him this weekend because I think his running is, you know, really truncated. Like the upside of that is really in check a little bit more against the Rams. And so I don't think he has that little extra oomph for his upside that he would need. He's going to rely on him to just be a pure passer. And he's not the best pure passer. So, you know, even if, you know, Hopkins were to play somehow, I think that still plays for the guys that I like, which is Kirk, Ertz, and Green in that offense there. So that's the way I would be leaning. For the Rams side of things, as I said, you can go with the running game primarily. I think defensively, they're going to have to hold their own on the back end. Offensively, you could go with Stafford. I would play him naked just because I don't even know what of those guys he's, you know, who's going to connect with more or whatever. I have no idea. But ultimately, I think that it's a rivalry sort of a deal. Arizona psychologically, little brother status. I know they've been playing hard lately. This is a game they should win. This is a game they should win. But I do think the Rams find a way to win this one at home on Monday night. So that's how I think that the wild card weekend shakes up. And we'll get to our DFS picks. Let's play a round of Would You Rather. Let's do a little Would You Rather for the wild card weekend. Deebo Samuel or Elijah Mitchell? I would say Deebo Samuel by a little bit. Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill? I'll take Hill. Devin Singletary or Devonta Smith, I would take Singletary. Mike Evans or Najee Harris? Harris. Darren Waller or Leonard Fournette? Fournette, if he plays, of course. Joe Mixon or Jamar Chase? Mixon. Dallas Goedert or Devonta Smith? Goedert. Miles Sanders or Knox? Sanders. Harris, Najee Harris or Jamar Chase? Harris. George Kittle or Deebo Samuel? Samuel. Zach Ertz or Van Jefferson? Ertz. Rob Gronkowski or Leonard Fournette? Fournette if he plays. Deontay Johnson or Najee Harris? Deontay Johnson. Brandon Bolden or Hunter Henry? I would say Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry or Rondale Moore? Hunter Henry. Isaiah McKenzie or Zach Moss? Tough. Both of those are not great choices. Maybe McKenzie. Najee Harris or Pat Freiermuth? Freiermuth. Dawson Knox or Gabriel Davis? I would say Gabriel Davis. Dallas Cowboys defense or Elijah Mitchell? Interesting. I would say Elijah Mitchell. Joe Mixon or Deebo Samuel? I will say Joe Mixon. Odell Beckham Jr. or Darrell Williams? Williams now, baby. Now that we know the injury news to CEH, Leonard Fournette or Jamar Chase? Fournette. Antonio Brown, who's not playing, we'll skip that one. Josh Jacobs or Deontay Johnson? Johnson. Tyler Higbee or Van Jefferson? Van Jefferson. Travis Kelce or Cooper Kupp? Cooper Kupp. Travis Kelce or Deebo Samuel? Deebo Samuel. Tyler Boyd or Dalton Schultz? Schultz. Cole Beasley or Damian Harris? Harris. Blake Jarwin or Derek Gore? Gore. Travis Kelce or Hunter Renfrow? Renfrow. Ezekiel Elliott or CeeDee Lamb? Elliott. Darren Waller or Devin Singletary? Waller. Rob Gronkowski or Mike Evans? Gronk. Alan Lazard or Ramon Stevenson? Lazard's not playing. Mike Evans or George Kittle? Kittle. Dallas Goedert or Gabriel Davis? Goedert. Cole Beasley or Boston Scott? Beasley. Deontay Johnson or Pat Freiermuth? I'm going to say Johnson. Zach Ertz or Jacoby Myers? Ertz. Mike Evans or Leonard Fournette? Fournette. Travis Kelce or CeeDee Lamb? Lamb. Sonny Michel or Deontay Johnson? Sonny Michel. Amari Cooper or George Kittle? Tough one. Cooper by maybe, or Kittle by a little bit. Cameron Braid or Keyshawn Vaughn? Cameron Braid. Darrell Williams or Gabriel Davis? Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams or CeeDee Lamb? Darrell Williams. Dallas Goedert or Jacoby Myers? Dallas Goedert and Darrell Waller or Chase Claypool. Give me Darren Waller. All right, guys, that's a little would you rather for the wild card weekend.
And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week.
DFS segment for this wildcard weekend. And before we even get to it, I guess I'll do the little playoff bracket challenge. Look, I don't, you know, claim to be a wizard. I think I feel more confident about the plays and the DFS points than I do about the outcomes of the games, but I'll certainly do a bracket to say that I did, even though I put very little stock in these things. So if you had to look at the AFC, you know, the Chiefs and the Steelers, I've got the Chiefs winning that one, so they would go on and face the Titans. The Bills and the Patriots, I do, as I said, think that the Patriots will upset the Bills. From there, the Bengals and the Raiders, I have the Raiders upsetting the Bengals, and so you'd have the Raiders and the Patriots, and I think the Patriots win that one. Then you have the Titans, and you'd have the Chiefs, and I do think the Titans are going to win that one. And so you'd have the Titans, and then you have the Patriots, and I think the Titans are going to win that football game. On the NFC side of things, it would be the Bucks and the Eagles. And in that one, you'd have the winner facing the Green Bay Packers. So Bucks and the Eagles, I got the Bucks facing that, winning that one, of course. Then the Cowboys and the 49ers, I got the Cowboys winning that one. Rams and Cardinals, I got Rams winning that one. So now you've got Rams and Cowboys. And between those two, I've got the Cowboys winning that one. And then you've got the Bucks and the Packers, and I got the Packers winning that one. So you'd end up with the Packers and the Cowboys, and I got the Packers winning that one. So the Super Bowl, I actually do think this year is going to come down to 1-1. Packers and Titans, and I've got the Titans winning. All right, now that we've got that noisy mess out of the way, let's do the DFS picks for this week. The cash, the money, the stuff that you should really be excited for. And thus, here it goes. DFS for the quarterbacks, cash game purposes, as I said, we're going to go with Carr, $5,500. We pay down. We save a lot of room to do other stuff that we need to do. So we'll do that. Tournament-wise, we want to spread a wide net because we've got fewer games. So more options means more chances for us to nail it. I'm doing multiple lineups with all of these guys, right? And so for GPP purposes, Brady at the top, $7,300. Murray, $7,200. Joe Burrow, $6,800, then Prescott, $6,400, and then Carr again, $5,500. We'll put him in 1-2. That's how we'll do the quarterbacks this week. Wide receivers for cash games, Debo Samuel, $8,100, locking that in. Deontay Johnson, $6,700, and then Renfro at $6,000, Christian Kirk at $5,300, or A.J. Green at $4,900. And I'm using A.J. Green a lot more, I think, over Kirk, if I had to be very honest with you guys. Tournaments for this weekend, Cup, $9,000. Jamar Chase, $7,400. I don't think many people are going to be on it. Higgins, $6,300. We're definitely going to do the Cincy stack. And then Cooper, Amari Cooper, $5,900, as I alluded to before. And then Chase Claypool, $4,800. Those are our tournament wide receivers this week. Tight ends for cash games, Gronk, $6,400. Goddard, $4,500. And then Freiermuth, $4,200. Tournaments, we're going to go Kittle at the top, $6,000. Waller, $5,700. Zach Ertz, $4,700. And then Cameron Brate, $2,800. You just mostly going to use that for the Tampa Bay Bucks lineup that I told you about before. If you need to sneak it into something else, you can. I might sneak it into just one more lineup. Running backs this week, cash game, Joe Mixon, $6,800. Excuse me, we're going to pay for him. Najee Harris, $6,600. I had Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. He's out, so we're going to go Williams. Edwards-Hilaire is $5,600. Williams is $5,500. We're going to take Williams. That's his free square this week now, I think. I think he's going to lead more than those other guys. I know he's got the toe issue. It was leaning like he was going to play anyway. I do think this is a chance for him to have a big opportunity to shine, and he'll take it. And then I have Sony Michel at $5,400. That's where I want to get invested. In the cash games and then in tournaments, Ezekiel Elliott, $6,100. Fournette, $5,900. It's a tournament play because he's coming back from IR. They haven't even designated him yet. We're taking a chance. And then Mitchell, $5,500 from the 49ers. We'll go there. And then Sony Michel again. $5,400. I'm going to call him out over there too as a good pick. And then defensively, look, you can pay up for the Bucks, $3,400. You get the Cowboys at $3,100. The Bengals at $3,000. And then the Pats at $2,600 is about the lowest I would go. Those are the picks we're going to use this week to nail it, guys. So good luck to you. I told you how to reach out to me on Twitter if you've got last-minute stuff or things that we need to do. But other than that, let's go win some money. Good luck. And then we'll meet back here next week and settle up and talk about where we go from here. Peace.
The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.